Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Fightful Prediction Show with me, Stephanie Cheese. And today I'm joined by a very special guest spending his birthday with us here on Fightful to talk about AEW All Out. It's Joe Hulbert. Hello, Joe. How are you on your birthday?
Great. I'm thrilled to be here. It was very, very funny. Very, very funny the way this came together, because Steph did not know this was my birthday, but I was fully aware the whole time and thought it was the funniest potential way to do a Fightful show and be back here live on Fightful. So I'm thrilled to be here, fired up. We have a hell of a pay-per-view kind of talk about. And the only issue is, as we were talking pre-show, is I got slightly upstaged because I thought I was the workhorse doing a show on my birthday, and then Steph revealed she was doing this while on vacation in Chicago. So, you know, there's always someone outworking you, is my point. So there you go.
I don't think that's outworking you. I think your birthday is more important. I'm just here on vacation with my mom, drinking and shopping. Like, you know, we're just like hitting the pavements at like 10 a.m. You know, getting everything done. My for those wondering, my mom is not coming to All Out. Sadly, she's going home tomorrow. And I will then make the sad journey from downtown Chicago to Hoffman Estates. Anyone that's been there will know what that's like.
I've experienced that. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. We have a super chat already. Small Snippets of Life says the big man is back from sommelier training. How was your sommelier training?
Well, the wine thing is, I've made it a bit, but it's kind of out of hand because the issue is I don't drink wine or know anything about it. So sometimes people will like play into the bit with super chats such as this, which we appreciate. And I'll have no, I have no follow-up to it. I just kind of go, yeah, wine. That's all I've got, you know.
Why did you not choose a beverage that you actually drink?
I don't know. It's sometimes these things, they just get carried away, you know. And the next thing, you know, MJF is stealing my stuff for TV, which we're all used to that, right? So, you know, it is what it is. It's what it is.
Well, we do have an awesome card to get through. We have eight matches just right now. But, of course, we're recording this on Thursday ahead of the Collision Rampage doubleheader that I may or may not have to sit through, or we'll see. It will be an endurance test for Steph if I make it through that entire live show, where I'm sure they will add more matches. We have another super chat here from Riley Walker, who says, Big Man is back. After last night, do we put Swerve Hanger up there in Feud of the Year convo? Is it up there with Punk Drew or Rhodes Rock Roman? That's a great question, Joe. You can take that first since it's addressed to you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think it's definitely up there. The only thing that complicates it, of course, is that it's like it's spanned beyond the year, right? Like the actual matches were last year. I know they did the stuff with Joe this year, so that's the only thing that complicates it. But I think it really depends on what match we got on Saturday, right? If they have another classic, then it all kind of comes together as a feud of the year. I mean, it's definitely a contender just on the angle last night. I think it's a contender, to be honest with you. But
yeah,
it's up there for sure. I don't think there's a ton of competitions. I think it's definitely up there.
I think you're right that, like, if we're just looking at this year, we can't be sure yet. I mean, it could go down as feud of the decade. I love the Punk Drew stuff, but I love the Hangman Swerve stuff more. But a lot of that is stuff that didn't happen this year. But I will say this match that's happening on Saturday, like, I'm more excited for this match than anything at All In. Like, this to me is what I'm really looking forward to. And yeah, that we'll talk about it in a bit, but that was one heck of a ending to Dynamite. So guys, send us your predictions for the matches. And first, before we get into it, we're going to hear from our great sponsors at Bet Online, as read to us by our overlord, Sean Wassup.
BetOnline AG. All of our odds that we've ever gotten from wrestling, MMA, boxing have come from BetOnline. We are so proud to be doing business with them. A lot of you guys are saying, wait, you can bet on pro wrestling? Yes, you can bet on pro wrestling. In fact, I've got it at a minus 200. This lawnmower outside my window isn't going to stop by the time I do this ad read. You hear that? I would have made some money at BetOnline AG with that prop. Go check out the BetOnline wrestling odds. That's the only ones you have ever seen on Fightful, because we only trust BetOnline AG. They're 25 plus years. Their safe and secure environment. Their high limits. Their credit card acceptance is all unmatched. You can bet big with their rebet functionality as well. The earliest lines that you're going to find, whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or other sports, BetOnline. Check them out.
Bet Online. Joe, do you have any bets for what matches Tony Khan might add to load up this card and keep me in Hoffman Estates?
That's a good question. Probably like a 20-man tag, I think, is probably awaiting you of some kind. I think 0 hours where they really get cracked. There was a great moment at Wembley a couple of weeks back where, like, I wasn't aware of that match they were going to do at the start, the 16-man tag. Mm-hmm. And I heard Bobby Cruz say 16-man, and I was kind of like, this is only AEW, bless. But I think you're definitely in for some matches. You said there's eight, right, currently? So yeah. Like, I think last year you had like 13, 14 with the pre-show. So you got some adding to do, I think.
I think, like, I'm anti-pre-show. Just for the live experience, like, I'm not into it. And at All In, they made us, like, the media tickets, like, they closed that at 4:15. And the amount of times, like, during the day, I sat there and said to Ben, I'm like, 4:15. I have to be in there from 4:15. You know, it was like, I think I spent longer in Wembley than my flight from Toronto to London to get to Wembley. Like, I spent longer in there. I'm just trying to think of what they might add. Like, I would have said, and I don't want it to happen because of one of the competitors. I would have said Jamie Hayter and Soraya, but then I thought the Dynamite was like just kind of weird that she just walked off Jamie with
that. I was expecting that too. Not as a long match necessarily, but it did feel like after the angle at Wembley, they may do that here. It'll be interesting. I think, you know, they obviously announced the Okada business that will be happening, that we're going to, as you said, will kind of reveal itself on Friday's TV. I'm not sure beyond that. It'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some of the losers from some of those matches will do something. But let's get started with, we're going to start with Will Ospreay versus Pac, a singles match for the AEW International Championship. I thought they did a bit of a good, like, angle after the match on Dynamite here. Who have you got for this one? Two English lads getting the big stage a month after the Wembley show.
Yeah, this is a very compelling one. This is one of the main attractions, I think, on the show. There's a part of me that wishes they could have this at Wembley, right? Considering, but yeah. It will work. You know, I think the match will be great. I think it's hard to pick against Ospreay after he just got this belt back.
Mm-hmm.
Pac has the trios deal. Like, I think it's hard to go against Will Ospreay here in what I assume will be a hell of a match.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really, really good match. I can't see Ospreay losing. But I think that, I mean, it's sad for Pac because, I was about to say what Scott said here, like Pac never wins the big one. It's like we're always waiting for Pac's moment. Like there's always something either like he's not there enough or he's injured or he's stuck in death triangle nonsense. So he just never gets that. And so I hope that in losing that he gets something afterwards so we can carry some pack momentum. But I do think it's going to be a really great match. And I like what they've done so far with each other.
I agree. It feels like Ricochet's up next for Ospreay, right? So as you said, hopefully Pac is not lost in that kind of, and he can do something else.
Do you think we'll see Ricochet? Do you think he'll get involved in any way?
I don't know. He wasn't on Dynamite, right? I'm not forgetting.
No, he wasn't. The introduction of Ricochet has been pretty odd. I mean, I know a lot of people complained about how he was introduced at Wembley, you know, just being part of a match that he didn't win. And then we've seen him wrestle once, but he was on Dynamite last week. And it's just been, I don't know, a little bit flat for me for like the hype of Ricochet coming in. And it feels like he's already just there. I think maybe if he like turned heel or something against Ospreay, like in some way in this match, he might make more of an impact. But for now, I'm just kind of like, oh, Ricochet. Right. Ricochet's here, allegedly.
Yeah, I could see him maybe showing up after the match and having like a face-to-face with Ospreay, something to that effect. But it feels like if that's going to be the next match, that'll be the one that kind of decides how his run goes, I think, right? Like if it's like this absolute classic, I think it'll get him going, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Up next, we have for the Tag Team Championship, the Young Bucks versus the Blackpool Combat Club's Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta, the challenge laid down there by Claudio on Dynamite. Whew, this one. What's the temperature on the Young Bucks for you, Joe? I'll let you take the bullet first.
Yeah, good call. I'm a great admirer of the Young Bucks historically. I think this has been a pretty rough stretch in their career, unfortunately. Yeah. This match will be a good wrestling match. I don't know if this is going to have much heat in Chicago because it's a thing that has been like thrown together, right? And I don't know. I think it's just difficult with the Bucks title reign because power is so distant from their best stuff as AEW tag champs, right?
Yeah. Like
it's a mile off. Hopefully it rocks and it goes on early in the show and the crowd gets with it and this can start getting the tag division going because the tag division needs help right now. It goes without saying, but assume the Bucks get the job done. The real question, I think, rather than the result, is just how good the match is, right? I think we all want it. We want to see the Bucks have a great title defense, I think. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think the Bucks' recent run has been pretty dire, to be honest. I'm a real hater on the Elite versus AEW story just because it was just done so badly. It was like taking a big swing. And then I always felt like it seemed like they were scared or like too hesitant to like go all in on that storyline. It always seemed like they were just tiptoeing around some kind of, you know, NWO Nexus type thing rather than just going like full force into it. So I've hated that. The tag division needs something. And maybe we got it with the Grizzled Young Vets at Wembley coming out. But yeah, Claudio and Wheeler, this seems thrown together. I'm a longtime hater of the Blackpool Combat Club. And now you've got, you know, Danielson's on his title run. Moxie's doing his little, I don't know, vanity project group. I have no idea. And it's like Claudio and Wheeler are just like, okay, well, we'll stick together and, you know, keep this dying faction going. So I can't say like I'm excited for it. I hope they pull out a good match, but I'm not super confident either. And I think the ending, I'd like to see them set up someone else, maybe maybe Grizzled Young Vets coming back again, something like that. Like them feuding with the Bucks would at least be exciting. I don't know how many people are that excited about Claudio and Wheeler, to be honest.
Yeah, it feels like filler, right? It does. And obviously Claudio is a great all-time great tag team wrestler, and him and Yuta have been a good team when we've seen them. They've not been a team consistently, it's fair to say, especially with Yuta's injury, of course. So, yeah, it's a difficult one to get super excited about. It's just one of those matches you hope over-delivers, right? I think placement will be important for this.
Yeah, I think that absolutely the Bucks win for me. Yeah. We're going to move on to the women's match with Mercedes versus Hikaru Shida for the TBS Championship. So we have a super chat here from David Camp, who sends £5. Thank you, David. And says, Ace versus CEO, here to elevate the standards of pay-per-view women's matches at All Out. Please, Tony, give them 15 minutes and let them cook. So this one, I was watching Dynamite this morning, and I had to kind of like speed watch it a bit because I didn't have much time and like go through some stuff. And I have to say that when Mercedes came out to do a promo, I was like, I have to watch this because these have been pretty bad to me, her run so far. So I just had to see like what level we were getting here. I wasn't a big fan of her promo. And I wasn't a fan of like Hikaru Shida coming out on the video and, you know, Christopher Daniels and like banning Camille and just like Mercedes overacting reaction to Camille being banned and then Shida saying bitch. But I do think after the disaster that was Mercedes versus Britt, in my mind, Hikaru Shida is gonna get a much better performance out of Mercedes. And I always kind of feel like not sorry for Shida in like that I pity her, but I think that she works extremely hard, not just as a wrestler, but I feel like last year before Wembley, she was really like going for it to try and like show herself as being able to lead the division. I remember interviewing her twice and like seeing like how hard she was working, and then she, you know, had to lose to Saraya and she never kind of gets that top spot. But I think this is going to be a really, really good match, but I do see Mercedes retaining. How about you, Joe?
Yeah, I agree on the finish. I think Mercedes keeps the belt. I'm actually excited for this for a couple of reasons. So I liked their recent TV match, but it was definitely wrestled like a TV match, right? And my immediate takeaway was I'd like to see them get a chance to this on pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. But now I'm even more excited because Mercedes is one of those wrestlers who I don't think it's lost on her the way that the Brit match was received. And I think to a wrestler like Mercedes, that's like, okay, we'll wait and see what happens next time, right? Like I think she's going to swing extra big here. I would love to see them get a chance to open this show, get a fresh crowd and go out there and get 20 minutes. No bells and whistles, just wrestling. I think they'd tear it up. So I'm excited for this. The result, I agree, is kind of inevitable. But I think the match could be – it would be great if coming out of All Out, this was like one of the picks for best match on the night, right? That would be great. I think that would be good for the division, good for Mercedes Reign. And Shida, it would be great for her to get a spotlight like that too. So I'm excited.
I think them opening is a really good idea. Do you think this ends to set up anything else? Like, do you think we are just quietly forgetting about the Brit feud, or do you think she's going to want another chance?
I think we're going to just move away from that politely and look the other way, I think is the plan. I mean, I could be wrong. It would be very funny if this Brit just come back out. It's like, they're running it back. It would be it'd be bold. Yeah, I don't think so. I think Mercedes is just going to kind of rotate through contenders for a bit, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. We have another super chat here from Princess Diana, who says, a very happy birthday to Joe Hubert. I know this is one of your crowd, Joe, because I say I've seen this on your streams. Yeah. Princess Diana, truly the best and most admirable of us all. Side note, my daughter Mariah better be on this pay-per-view. Are you surprised that there's no title defense from Mariah May as things stand right now?
It felt like they could have done the Mina match, right? Mina Shirakawa would have been like, you wouldn't even have to build that. It's like one angle away, basically. So that surprised me slightly. Maybe there's a scheduling thing that I'm not aware of. Princess Diana being in the chat. Hopefully that's as outrageous as the bits get in the super chat realm. But we appreciate it nonetheless.
I'm expecting the Queen, Prince Philip to make an appearance. All those guys up there watching you, Joe. We have another super chat here from Slim Reaper 35, who says $4.99. Thank you so much. With such a deep roster, why do you think TK hasn't just paired some guys together to juice up the tag division like Ricky and Bill last year? Why has TK not done this?
I have no idea, because it's like the easiest way to combat a loaded roster is to give guys a purpose by pairing them up. Like, there are a bunch of guys. Like, I've always thought it's crazy that Archer hasn't been given a full-time team. You know, like, I just, there's a bunch of guys who I think have a lot to offer, and I understand he likes them in their role. But here's the thing. A guy being in a tag team doesn't mean they can't wrestle singles matches, right? They still can. Yeah. They just have a tag team alongside that. It would make a lot of sense. I don't get the hesitation. It's something we very seldom have seen. It's a shame.
I think the tag division is just both Tony and the Young Bucks think the other one is doing it. And then, you know, they meet before the pay-per-view and they're like, what, you didn't build a feud? No, I thought you were building a feud. No. Oh, okay. Claudio and Willow, just challenge us. it does seem so like haphazard and unloved, considering we have tag team EVPs. You know, it really does.
It's strange. It's very different to the way it felt 2-3 years ago, right? Like, especially even a little bit older. Like, it was, you could tell it was the Bucks part of the promotion. It's very different now.
Very different now. We have another super chat here. They're coming in thick and fast, Joe. R. Curtis 777 says Joey Bing Bong and a heart.
It's very kind. I appreciate it. Got a lot of excitement in the chat. We're having fun here. Birthday, vacation combination. You know, it's very exciting times.
I'm just trust the process. As a Juice White to get a tag run. Jay White, not only my favorite wrestler, but my mom's favorite wrestler. I don't think she could handle him getting the tag run. She just, you know, wants him world champion. Did you see on Twitter my mom's list of her five favorite wrestlers?
I did see, because I remember the Jay, I was aware of the Jay White thing. I can't remember the rest of the list. I remember being impressed by the list. It was strong.
Number two was Jack Perry. Number two was Jack Perry. And we were talking about, you know, what happened with Jack Perry and Punk last year at Wembley, which pushed my mom's love for Jack Perry over the edge, because she thinks the Cry Me a River bit is the funniest thing that's ever happened in wrestling. Like, people watch that clip over and over. But we were talking about that and how it all went down. And I was like, you know, I do think that Punk really wanted to get fired and wanted something to happen he could react to. And my mom just turned around and went, do you think Jay could get himself fired and go somewhere where they appreciate him? And I was
we've all asked questions like that before. I mean, it's understandable. We've all been there as fans of wrestlers, yeah.
Let's put that out in the universe. Jay White comes back and just starts a backstage brawl and he's out.
Andrade style, right? Andrade style. He was the originator.
And we have another super chat. Thank you. $10 from Chi-Town Spurs, who says, don't even mind this tag match being non-existent, because we needed a fresh matchup so desperately. And add Grizzled Young Vets and FTR, and there's a foundation for the tag division rebuilding. Well, it certainly needs rebuilding, but I think Grizzled Young Vets are a great full-time addition to it.
Yeah, I agree. You hope that it seems like they're going to be paired with FTR on Collision for a bit. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they can get some buzz, because they're going to get time on Collision, right? Everything gets time on Collision. So, like, I think that hopefully they can have some great matches with FTR and then you can start. But I do think it needs to be, you know, there's some younger teams that need elevating, right? How long can Top Flight be in the same spot? Private Party be in the same spot?
That's, I don't know if we can count Top Flight and Private Party as a younger team anymore.
Right, they've been in the same place.
These poor guys. Jay Blood 79 cents, $9.99, to say Joe got the bag.
Not yet. let's take it easy. Maybe if the chat keeps looking like this, maybe I will get it one day. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Let's move on to, we'll do another women's match. We'll do Willow Nightingale versus Chris Statlander. And this is a Chicago street fight, the stipulation that Willow picked after winning the mixed tag on the All In pre-show. Joe, thoughts on this? A Chicago street fight. What do you think of that stipulation?
I think it's I'm a big fan of both wrestlers, and I'm not always a huge fan of like the Plunder Street vibe, but I think in this case it's a big positive because I love Chris and I love Willow. I don't think they have natural chemistry as opponents, weirdly. As great as they both are, I mean, Chris, I think, had good matches with everyone as TBS champion. And that's not to say the matches with Willow have been bad. They haven't been. But I think the stipulation will allow them to kind of add some, you know, layer some violence on top of the just the chemistry situation. I think it'll probably be pretty crazy. Hopefully they get time here to go nuts. I expect we'll get some blood and some chaos and some weaponry and so on and so forth. But I'm excited for this. I'm a huge fan of both, and they're both great.
I agree. When women are allowed to do, you know, violent no DQ matches in AEW, like, they really go wild. So there's a lot of history of that. And I think these two will really want to show out for this. I think I was expecting, like, because Street Fight seems like the most like basic, you know, stipulation that you can pick, really. But then we're ending up here with a steel cage match. So maybe it wasn't the pay-per-view to do something else. But I think this will be really good. I really enjoyed their feud. And who have you got for the winner here? Do you think this is the blow-off final?
I think so, just because they've had quite a few matches at this point, right? Yeah, I kind of ducked this question because I'm not sure who wins here. This is an interesting one. This is probably one of the hardest matches to pick. I will say I'll take Statlander. The key either way is that both women need to stay central on TV, right? That's the key thing, regardless. Yeah. I'll take Statlander, I think.
I think Statlander as well. And I do think we get one more match then where Willow ends up on top. Right. Yeah. Okay, a complicated one here because we have Okada putting his Continental Championship on the line against three TBDs. So the TBDs, that's going to be hard for me to hear. I'm actually looking at a teddy bear called TBT, so it's really anyone that knows my lore. That probably popped Benno. Anyway, we have so... On Collision, we're getting Orange Cassidy versus Brian Keith, Lance Archer versus Mark Briscoe, and Takeshita versus the Beast, Mortos. So three of those men will face Okada. Do you have a pick of three? This one is going to be complicated to talk about.
Okay, so Orange Cassidy, I think we can be confident on, right? I think we can be confident he's making it. Takeshita, I think so.
Sorry, I can't believe they're going back to this Jericho Orange Cassidy.
I can. That's a different pay-per-view preview if you worry about. I will not be here for that one. we're going to have Orange in here. I think we're going to have Takeshita. The most difficult one to pick is Archer and Briscoe. Mm-hmm. Because I could see them giving Lance a win and then they could have Mark wrestling for the Ring of Honor belt or something to that effect. But I think all of that may be kind of rendered irrelevant because I think Okada's winning regardless, right, at the pay-per-view. This is just like a – kind of wanted to see the Claudio rematch. I don't know. I'm not sure about this one.
So I think that Orange will beat Brian Keith. I'm kind of unsure about that because obviously they're going to have the other Learning Tree members there, and Orange Cassidy said he'd pay the – 7,000 or whatever if he loses. So I feel like something funny could go on in that match. But I'll say Orange Cassidy. But I also just can't see them doing a pay-per-view without a Jericho match. So I'm like will Orange Cassidy lose? And then those two do the sequel to the Mimosa Mayhem. You get that?
For everyone's sake, I hope that is not the case.
It's so funny. Anyway, so that one I'm kind of unsure of. Lance Archer, Mark Briscoe. I would love to see Lance Archer just get the spot because he's just so underutilized, so underused. And just, I mean, Mark Briscoe's great. Obviously, we all love him. But he gets spots on every show. Like, I think, you know, he can do a pre-show match or something. I think Lance Archer getting on the big stage in Chicago would be good. And then Takeshita and Mortis, Takeshita, I think there is a slight chance that Takeshita could beat Okada because He's just come back from his G1 run. Everyone loves Takeshita. He's going to be super over. People really feel like he needs something, that he's being badly booked, and he was for a long time. So him now maybe taking a babyface role after like the great reaction he got at that, was that Double or Nothing? No, that was when I was there that he was.
That was Forbidden Door, right?
Forbidden Door, yeah. Where everyone just loved him. I would love to see him turn face, obviously tell Don Callis to fuck off. And him and Okada would be one hell of a feud. So I, slight outside chance, I think, of Takeshita winning, but I wouldn't put money on it. But I could also see him losing, but like being there at the end and then moving on to a feud with Okada, just because I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, I think that's the most likely, the situation where Takeshita gets close enough they can go into a singles program. I think that's most likely.
Yeah. I just want such great things for Takeshita. He's like the forgotten victim of the Jericho Vortex, because they didn't feud, but him, like Jericho coming in to get the Ospreay match at Wembley, just to me pushed Takeshita into the back after everything he'd been doing. Yeah. He's forgotten Vortex victim Takeshita. Oh, another Vortex victim is coming up. It's Daniel Garcia, who's taking on MJF in a singles match. We had they opened Dynamite. I didn't see the opening of Dynamite live, but I saw like the next 15 minute block, and then when I was watching the whole thing, I started from where I left off and I was like, where's the Garcia MJF bit? I didn't know that they opened, so then I went back and watched that. I thought it was one hell of a promo from Garcia's side, not so much MJF, but I know that you sometimes help out Garcia with the coaching there on Twitter. Yeah. And he's one of my absolute favorites. So you've got the spot that I want, being in Daniel Garcia's ear. Though if I was in Garcia's ear, I don't think he'd be doing a match at All Out. But anyway.
Fair.
What have you got for this? Because I'm going to say now, like, if... Oh, my camera's gone off. One sec. If Danny doesn't win, there will be a problem. It might be a case of if Danny loses, we riot, and that's just me. What do you think, Joe? Any chance that MJF's going to lay down for Danny?
I think this is really hard to pick. Really, really difficult, especially because Max is coming off the Wembley loss to Ospreay. It's like... Mm-hmm. I think this finish is going to be controversial in either direction. I think you're going to get some kind of shenanigans here. Very torn. I think Garcia's been very strong since he returned as a TV character. His promos have been good. MJF, I think, clearly wants to help Daniel Garcia. How much he's going to help him here at Chicago is the question, right? It's very difficult. I'm going to be daring. I'm going to go with my gut. And I'm going to go with Daniel Garcia getting the biggest win of his career thus far. I don't know if I believe the words I just said, Steph, but I said them nonetheless. So there you go.
Within the last couple of days when I haven't been paying attention online, like, has someone fully reported that he's re-signed?
No. The understanding, as far as I know, in fear of speaking out of turn here, folks, is that he's expected to. And has kind of stressed that he believes he will, but I do not believe he has signed a contract. I could be wrong on that, folks. Do not aggregate me. So
what you're saying is I just have to find him in Chicago, corner him, and explain why he should, you know, jump ship to NXT.
That's not what I said, but that's absolutely how you can, you can interpret it. Look, I'm just a coach. I just put the game plans together. I don't deal with the contract stuff, you know.
You know, I know people, like some people get mad when I say that he should jump over, and I get that they're giving him something, you know, right now with MJF, but I still just, I just feel like he's got a real shot of like doing something different in NXT, like a fresh start. And he's so young that I would kind of take the risk if I was him. And I felt like, so I asked about Garcia's contract at the presser after Wembley. And I just felt that Tony just really, really hated that question. like really hated that question more than like, and I was thinking, man, I had like four worse ones in the chamber for you. Like that was my easiest one. But I just feel like that kind of conversation about Garcia, he was not up for.
Yeah, it's been a complicated thing to watch unfold. I've changed my mind a few times. There was a segment, I know you saw, Steve, I did with our friends at Grapple, and I had 25-minute monologue where I just sort of just swinging my head back and forth in dismay to try and figure it out. I don't know, if I'm honest. He's a very young guy, and he's going to make the decision himself ultimately, right? But, yeah.
Yeah. We have a super chat here. I am back. I lost battery, but we've switched to the shitty Apple cam. Slim Reaper 35 cents, $1.99. It said, did I miss when all DCF members were now faces?
I don't know if Kyle Fletcher, I think, is just like he just changes in a little match. I don't know if he's a babyface. Maybe. I don't know. Kyle Fletcher, Takeshita appeared to be a babyface last night, but that could change. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It feels like something, maybe it was one of the injuries, has changed the Don Callis angle a little bit. It feels like this was not the original direction, right? It feels like, anyway. Yeah. I'm not sure.
It feels like everyone that gets paired with Don Callis, the crowd naturally like end up liking, feeling sympathy for, and then they have to do this kind of thing where they almost... like they have Don Callis out there, but you're also kind of meant to forget that Don Callis is there, even though he's everywhere, right? Because everyone fucking hates Don Callis. I think it was like Double or Nothing. I counted like eight appearances from Don Callis, like on just screen time. And I was like, I never would have imagined when I was young, like this guy that disappeared for a while would then not be off my TV when this new promotion formed.
It was even worse at one point. There was some Dynamites in like the spring where he was in like every segment. He would cut backstage and then he'd be on commentary. He was all over the show. I think they must have some kind of idea for, you know, I guess when Hobbs is back, which we assume is going to be pretty soon.
Wasn't he reported to be at Dynamite, yes. Hobbs? Yeah.
He was. And I know some people were hoping he was going to do something on TV, but it sounds like it's close. So hopefully there can be some kind of development and we can figure out where each character stands in this whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. We have Bryan Danielson versus my mom's second favorite wrestler, Jack Perry, for the AEW Championship. Joe, were you one of those people that was upset when it was Jack Perry announced as the challenger?
Well, I would love to lie about this, but unfortunately I was live on the air, so everyone saw my reaction, which was kind of, oh. And it wasn't actually because of Jack. I actually like Jack Perry. The issue I had was I thought it was going to be Christian and Danielson. I kind of just decided that was what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because I forgot they do the cash-in thing, right? I thought it would just be the match. And I really wanted to see them wrestling. I loved their match on Collision last year, so I was kind of bummed about that. But then once the dust, you know, it's like, I think this will be very good. I think Jack needs a great match as a heel, right? He had some really good matches as a babyface, but as a heel, he's only had a handful of opportunities. And he was very unfortunate. The Derby match obviously had its time cut, which was, I think, was very apparent watching it.
Yeah, that match was so disappointing, but I don't think it was their fault.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of thought we had a chance to steal the show, and it did not get there at all, ultimately. So this is a great chance for him to have a great match, a classic match even. Danielson has that ceiling with anyone. So very confident to be good. Obviously, I assume Danielson is winning. The only thing I would say is I'm intrigued how they navigate the atmosphere, because there's a version of the atmosphere that's great. We saw it when Jack worked New Japan in Chicago, right? Yeah. When it was like, I just hope it's more that than like half the crowd chanting for Punk, half the crowd chanting fuck CM Punk, like, because it's a Bryan Danielson match. I don't really need that to be the chance while he's wrestling. So that's my only concern.
What about the people that are chanting fuck Bryan Danielson for being the one that made the call?
Yeah, well, that would be something. Now, that would be a twist. That would be interesting. Yeah. You may have to start that chant to get it going. I'm not sure. I think it would be interesting, but I think the match would be tremendous. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good. I like Jack being the challenger. I like him a lot. I like his scapegoat character. I think he does need that big match. And who else like who's the perfect person to get it from, but Brian Danielson. I thought it was going to be Christian too. And I was there when Christian was Swerve challenger. So I felt like he was in that role. But do you think that he'll factor into the match in any way? Because there is the Christian Jack Perry former rivals connection, right, and that great coffee match that they had. So when they announced Jack Perry as the challenger, and I thought it was going to be Christian, like that was like the first thing that came into my mind, like, oh, it's the guy that Christian had this like very dark feud with. But yeah, I don't know if we're meant to kind of forget that because Jack's a heel now.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm intrigued how much they want to play up like the cash in element. Because I could even see them do, especially with Christian. He often will do stuff that I think most guys would struggle to do, but he does it in a way that you kind of makes you think it's good. It's like his specialty, right? I could even see Christian doing the like, will he, won't he take the title shot thing in the middle of the match.
So WWE.
That's the thing. And that's the one. Like, I get why they like it as a dramatic tool. I know they used it with Christian and Copeland last year. I think they should be careful with the cash and stuff. So I would probably avoid it. But I would rather just see Christian have a match with Brian Danielson, to be honest with you. But,
I know. I mean... I think if they do a cash in, right, and obviously Danielson's winning, it makes the whole Christian winning the gauntlet like even more pointless, because then we don't even get good match of it. It makes it seem even more like it was just like such a, because you know I love Christian, but that gauntlet was super exciting until we got to the Christian Luchasaurus like flat ending of it. So I hope we get like at least I want to know the larger purpose for Christian winning this match. Like there needs to be a bigger.
I fear that the reason is exclusively like it will be how Luchasaurus turns babyface, which I don't think is the answer either of us are looking for, but I think that's the answer.
Does anyone care about Luchasaurus turning babyface?
Yeah, I think, you know, even the smartest wrestlers have blind spots, and I think Christian is brilliant, but I think he really overestimates the like value of the Luchasaurus Christian feud. To be honest, I could be wrong. He may prove me wrong on that, but I mean, I can't. I don't see it being a big attraction. To be honest with you, I could be wrong.
No, we have another super chat here. Thank you again, Slim Reaper 35, who sends $1.99 to say, "Do you think we get a Hurt Business debut on Saturday?"
I do actually. I can't shake the feeling. This is kind of getting ahead of us, but this will feed into the main event talk. Mm-hmm. I can't shake the feeling that Bobby Lashley might be ripping the door off that cage on Saturday in Chicago. I just got this feeling.
My God, like Kane style?
Yeah, I got this feeling because I keep thinking, what's the right finish for the main event, which we'll get into in a second. It's like, if you're going to beat Swerve, it would be a good way to spin him off into a new thing right away, right? So they can move away from each other for a second. I'm not sure. I think they'll be there on Saturday. What they're doing, the other element with the Hurt Business guys is, are they tied to the Moxley fight camp?
Well, I would much rather what you're saying. Like if you got Lashley coming in, like Lashley, Swerve, Nana, MVP, that would be quite like promo wise, segment wise, would be amazing. That would be quite the visual. Sorry, I'm just thinking about Moxley's fucking group and who he's gonna bring in. Do you have any ideas? I hope it's not the Hurt Business. I was thinking, like, is he going to bring back someone like Miro? Like, is it going to be all kind of like the Misfit Toys? Like is the group just going to be people that don't actually want to be there? You know, like that kind of thing.
I don't know. I'll be completely honest in saying that I am quite concerned about the direction I think it will go to.
Right.
Because I think Josh Barnett's going to be involved. And
well, as you can imagine, I have strong feelings against Josh Barnett based on the Jay White Jim Ross incident. I have the only Bloodsport match I have ever watched is when Shayna Baszler did it at Mania weekend, because I boycotted Bloodsport since the day that Josh Barnett got mad at Jay White for knocking over Jay
Well,
White.
You may be in for a roller coaster in that case.
He's not even good, though. Sorry if he's watching. Yeah. He's not even that good.
I think he's coming. I think there's a lot of questions as to who this group. I think I'll say this. It's good to have a mystery on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You just hope that the mystery concludes in a positive fashion and not a, oh, no, you know, which I think is possible.
I just felt like when Moxley last week, when he came out to start this group, right, it was totally unexpected. And but then it was also kind of funny, like with everything we've been through with the Elite, you know, it's here's another person like trying to take this company or like go rogue on this company. It's like, wow. But did not expect him and Mina Shafir, like that's for sure. But Josh Barnett on my TV every week. No, guys.
We'll see. Hopefully I'm wrong. I could be wrong. I don't know.
I hope so too. Well, let's get into it. The main event, the unsanctioned lights out steel cage match, Swerve Strickland versus Hangman Adam Page. I thought the ending of Dynamite was excellent, really. Like, you know, bit cartoony, bit was it cinema? But I really enjoyed it. Like, I loved the story about Swerve buying the house, coming out during the day, with, you know, Prince Nana being the one that, like, brokered the deal, like, helped him. So I thought Angle incoming. And then we get it on Dynamite. Hangman just, you know, I've said many times, like, to me, Hangman's the main character of AEW. And when Hangman is doing something, AEW is much, much better. And when he's doing something with Swerve, that makes it even better. So I love the angle. I'm so excited for the match. I'm so happy that I get to see it live. I got to see them live. What show was it? Was it Revolution last year where they had the wild
it was Full Gear, I believe. Full Gear. Say Full Gear? Maybe.
I feel like
I'm very bad at this sort of thing.
I was in California. I think it was Revolution. Like, then they did have another one, but they had a match at Revolution. Amazing. My favorite feud. This has a chance to top Drew Punk for me. So how are you feeling on it, Joe? How did you feel about the ending of Dynamite?
Yeah, I agree completely with the praise. I think this is one of the best things AEW's ever done, this feud, right? And it's helped both guys so much. It made Swerve a main event guy, and it got Hangman back in the game after he'd kind of cooled off following the Elite BCC feud. And here we are a year later, and it's like it's still, I think, the centerpiece of the promotion. So very, very strong. Last night's angle was probably the highest peak yet. Tremendous. Now, that visual with him sitting with the flames behind him was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
So I have nothing but praise for the whole build. The match, you assume, will be great. The only thing with a match in any of these situations is, like, how do you top the Texas Death match, right? That's, like, the only thing. But I'm not going to doubt these two. I mean, these guys are nuts. They're going to come up with some kind of crazy idea. The finish, we go back to that prior super chat. I think Hangman needs to win. I think you're beating Swerve clean, which is why I ended up that Lashley pitch. And the only reason one of the things I like about Hangman winning with Hell is the idea of him as a heel being like a complete hypocrite and accepting that win, even though he didn't do it on his own. I think there's something to that, right? It's kind of like a role reversal, and he doesn't even cop to it. He's like, yeah, I won, is what it is. So I got Hangman via some kind of shenanigan, interference, distraction, whatever it may be. Because it just doesn't feel like a match that's going to end with someone hitting their finish, you know, clean in the middle, right? There's going to be some kind of bells and whistles here, I think. But I think Hangman has to win.
I think Hangman has to win as well. I think you've really put this idea, like, that someone's going to come in at the end and be like, because I think that Hangman and Swerve are like, is like a forever feud, hopefully. Yeah. Like, they're always going to hit each other, like, go after each other at any chance. So I could see then, Swerve getting, like, distracted or taken out by someone else. But I think Hangman should win. Yes. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how they do like a cage match in AEW like this, like how they make it more, you know, like more violent or extreme than stuff that we've seen like in WWE, because they're doing, you know, they're going back to the Bad Blood pay-per-view like next month where you had the Undertaker Shawn Michaels match. And I just feel like they're really going to show out for this.
I agree. Yeah. I kind of wonder how, because it's obviously going to be very bloody, right? That goes without saying. Mm-hmm. We've seen what these guys do previously. So that's a given. But I do wonder if they work in some kind of crazy stunts. It feels likely, right? Because I don't think this is going to be a kind of conventional cage match. I think they may even jumpstart this and have a whole brawl before they even get in the cage. I could definitely see that.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be wild. Let's be real. This is going to be insane.
Yeah, I think it is. I would like them to start like maybe even just start in the back or something, like no entrances, like no nothing. They just hate each other so much. Like they can't. Ooh, sorry. Like they should do something throughout the show where, because Swerve has to be so mad at what happened. It was horrible. Where he's just like trying to find Hangman to kill him because they're in the same building. Like that would be amazing.
Yeah, and then you could like go for the people. You could build to some kind of table deal where, you know, there's a bunch of different stuff you can do with this. They're gonna swing big on this because I think they know what their main event in the show too. So like, yeah. You know, this is not going to be a restrained effort. This is going to be an absolute, like the maximum version of the match. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be awesome.
I think it's going to be awesome too. I'm so excited to see it live. We have a super chat here from Just Simon 419 who sends $6.99 Canadian. Hangman should win, I agree, but I love the idea that no matter what he does, he cannot beat Swerve. Dreamer Raven type beat. Love the Lashley idea though. I think I do like the idea of Hangman not being able to beat Swerve, but I think it depends on kind of how long you want to keep like this portion of the feud going. Right. Like if you want to keep making Hangman get crazier and crazier, but the fact that he's burned down a house, I don't know what the next unhinged thing you can do is after burning down a house that we can get away with. In the wrestling universe, I think he might have like peak villain here.
Yeah, I think, and that's why I like the idea of Hangman winning in an underhanded fashion.
Yeah.
But then having no intention of ever wrestling Swerve again. Like, no, I did it. It's done. You know, like, now it's done. Like,
That
I think you can develop that and add to that. I like the dynamic in a vacuum of him never being able to beat Swerve, but to your point, then what do you do with him as a character? It would be difficult, but that doesn't mean it couldn't happen. I just, I don't know. It feels like Hangman needs this to me. He came back, he lost the dragon. He didn't win the gauntlet. Like, I think Hangman should win here.
Yeah, because he's been so focused on just trying to get Swerve and get revenge on Swerve. So if he gets it by winning, then it's a chance for the character to kind of move on and do something else. And what that would be, I don't know, because I always want big things for Hangman. And I'm not sure like what his next direction would be if he's able to put the Swerve stuff behind him. Do you have any ideas? Like obviously my main thing I would want is for Jay White to return and feud with Hangman because that would be awesome. But I don't really know where you would go from him next as a character if he just kind of if we all kind of accept that character did those like really, really bad things because of Swerve, like how we accepted Swerve broke into Hangman's house because it was Hangman. And then we all, you know, supported him when he was champion.
It's definitely, like to your point, it's definitely it's such a heated conflict now. I guess the question really is how do you get the guys back to just being like wrestlers on the show?
Yeah.
I guess I think I would like to see Hangman chase the belt. Right, like if he was to win here, him going back for Brian, who of course they have a famed rivalry. I think they're 2 each now in their 4-match series. I would love to see them wrestle again for the belt. Of course, Brian won in the Owen final. I don't know if that's the direction, but that would be what makes sense to me. And then Swerve suddenly is chasing Hangman, right? Maybe you could do something with that. There's a few different ways to take this, I think.
Last night, I like this one from Maria. Last night was better than Austin going to Brian Pillman's house. That was an iconic moment. Is it weird that I think the Hangman thing was more believable than the Austin Pillman thing?
I will say, I thought that Hangman, I think people maybe don't fully appreciate because they're focusing on the concept of how insane it was, but like yeah. Hangman had to do a really strong, the performance part of that was very impressive. Yeah. There's a lot of wrestlers that would have completely failed that content.
It was an Oscar-worthy performance. There's something like about his delivery that's so good. And I think that when you're doing something like that, like, so not to just dunk on the Learning Tree stuff like constantly, but like that moment on Dynamite where like Orange Cassidy appeared to be like, tell Jericho he'll get his money. And like the facials that Jericho is doing behind Orange Cassidy, just so, like just some of the worst like cartoons of like, why am I watching this stuff? And like completely unbelievable to me. I'm watching it going, this like wrestling is fake, right? Mm-hmm. Just from those facials. But Hangman's performance at the end, his delivery, where he then burnt down a house, walking around the house with like pouring gasoline, and then all of that, his performance was so good that yes, I believe that. And Swerve's reaction in the ring to me was 10 times more natural than the reaction we got from Mercedes when she was told that her friend couldn't accompany her to the ring.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's the way that the wrestler can portray those things. It makes the completely, you know, unbelievable, yeah. Totally believable, right? It's that's the sweet spot. I agree with you completely. What Hangman was delivering there could have been absurd in other hands, but he nailed it. He absolutely did.
He absolutely nailed it. And Joe, so did we. We got through what we have now of the AEW All Out card. Joe, what are the rest of your birthday plans? Have you got more podcasts scheduled? Is it wall to wall?
Thankfully not. I don't have any plans, but I will not be doing podcasts, but this was the right, you know, if I was going to do the triumphant fight for return, doing it on my birthday feels like the right thing to do. So,
absolutely.
So I think we have some other shows this weekend. We're doing a different full gear. All Out, that's what this show's called. That's the one. All Out previews tomorrow on Late Night Greer, and then we're doing a watch along over on LNG Gold also. So busy weekend, but the rest of the day will be absolutely nothing, hopefully. Maybe watch some movies, maybe. We'll see.
Absolutely. Well, tell everyone, it feels like everyone in the chat knows where they can find you, but tell everyone that might be listening later where they can find you, where they can follow you, how they can keep up with all your live streams that you do on YouTube.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So at Joe Holbert is the Twitter gimmick, and you'll see all sorts of useless just imagery. I don't even really tweet words anymore. As you know, Steve, it's kind of a ridiculous account, but you can follow me there. But Late Night Green is my current home where there's a 25 podcaster roster of people just talking about wrestling on every other day. So hell of a time over there. And as I said, we've got some full gear. I keep doing it. See, this is the problem with doing. I've already got the calendar ahead of me. All Out is this show, folks. There's a bunch of content.
You're booked and busy, Joe.
I know. And it's, you know, it's wearing on me, but I'm like an 80s wrestler. I'll figure it out later. I'll write a book down the line and I'll work through all of this.
You just keep taking those somas and going, you know. Well, thank you so much for joining me on your birthday, Joe. It's been great. I've been wanting to do a podcast with you. I'm always checking out what's going on Late Night Grin. So it's really good to finally get to do something together. And on such a special day too. You'll remember this for the rest of your life.
I will.
What you were doing on your birthday. On Fightful.
The greatest birthday ever, right? Fightful spot. I mean, the payday for this is like, guys, I mean, he's going to fund the next 10 birthdays. This is outrageous. So it's been a hell of a time.
And guys, thank you for joining me. You can go find me on YouTube at Stephanie Chase Wrestling. I should be dropping an interview tomorrow, one that I did with Willow back before the Wembley show, but, you know, still relevant. I'll be dropping that. And then keep an eye on my channel because on Thursday, next Thursday, I will be back to doing live Dynamite reviews. So get involved in that, and I'll be doing that every week. And some more live streams as well. I'll be back on Fightful What the heck is the next pay-per-view? It's a WWE one for sure. Is it Bad Blood? It's Bad Blood. I will be back on Fightful to preview Bad Blood in about a month. But anyway, everyone, enjoy All Out. Enjoy your birthday, Joe. Thank you again, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.